All right, guys, so this episode we will be talking about how to overcome and get through creative blocks. I guess being, regardless of the type of project, I personally am suffering from a creative block on finding topics to record podcasts about. So I guess that would be a good way to start off. In the room right now, I'm surrounded by my teacher and a couple classmates. We've got Doug. We've got Kathleen, we've got David, we've got Jeremy, and we've got Gulo and myself. And so I guess I will throw the first question. Maybe if anybody wants to share just a situation where they had a creative block, what you were trying to do, what you were trying to achieve, and how you overcame the block. Did you end up actually doing what it was that you set out to do? So if anybody wants to go first.
This might be a bit of a low blow, but I think David had a bit of an interesting writer's block when he was doing Mr. Doug McClement's assignment that he may or may not want to share.
Oh, you want me to talk?
Low blow.
Well, I mean,
on the spot.
Spotlight.
Yeah.
Great. Yes. I just tend to overthink things a lot. I mean, it's been that way for many, many, many years. It's something I always struggle with. And I guess whenever that... Oh, Doug's assignment.
Doug.
Okay, sorry, I'm thinking about Eric's assignment.
No,
Doug's. Because, of course, I blocked them too.
So Doug's assignment was the one that we handed in yesterday.
Yes.
Which was to create a budget for a hypothetical five-piece band. What we had to do was search for studios online and provide a budget, a schedule, and a floor plan.
And a track sheet.
So how did that work out for you?
Now that I know what I'm talking about, I don't know if it was as much of a creative block as it was me not knowing what to do. I was kind of like a fish out of water, and so tackling it, I just I didn't really know where to start, because I mean, we had to do a track sheet, we had to do like a recording schedule, then the budget. That was easy because of course we did a budget with you. So I mean, I worked on that for a very, very long time, and I didn't go to bed until about 6 a.m. So I really did, it was my least favorite assignment since arriving here. And I also realized that if the app program is much like that assignment, then I definitely only want to do AMP and not also app.
However, that was from the viewpoint of a manager.
That's the viewpoint from an artist.
No, we took on the role of a manager in that assignment.
Did we?
We did, yeah, it was stated. So you would be, you wouldn't be assembling the track list or the track sheet. You would simply be providing it in this presentation. So the information would be given to you.
Which is where that's what I struggled with.
Okay. Well, see, that was an interesting thing, because you actually mentioned when you first started describing this how you felt like a fish out of water. You never tackled a project like this ever before.
Yeah.
And I find personally that's, when I get really creatively blocked, it's often because I'm completely, one of two things, could be two of polar opposites. I could be either so familiar with the content that I'm overwhelmed with options and then I'm paralyzed by that, or the polar opposite of that, which would be I'm completely unfamiliar with this and I don't even know where to start. So when I am faced with situations where I absolutely am so unfamiliar with something I don't even know where to start, the first thing I try to do is look at examples. I start somewhere, look at somebody else's work and see what other people have done, see examples, try to find things online, talk to other people. That's what I typically do. I don't know if anybody else has faced that sort of situation.
Yeah, I mean, like, personally, when I have a writer's block, it always seems to be in, like, some sort of exam situation when you have to, like, write an essay like that, and it's just like...
And is that because of too much? You have too much information, or you have not enough information?
Well, there's usually, like, it'll usually have an exam question provided, so I have the information and I will hopefully know what I'm talking about because I attended class. But the hardest part for me was always starting an essay. And I don't know why, but like I knew that you had to have like a thesis and you had to have like a basic idea of the 3 points that you're going to talk about kind of thing and kind of put all that into an introductory paragraph. But I don't know why I had this like fear of a thesis or something, and like it was always so hard for me to start, and I think it was just because I was trying to think of everything at once.
Yeah.
And as soon as I kind of just like took a step back and like sorted out my ideas and said like, okay, well I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to talk about this, and then if you basically write that out, you have a thesis. And if you can like, if you can pick out one idea from the jumble in your head, I find that that is what we'll be able to.
But starting is the hard thing too,
yeah,
like you said,
starting,
right? The starting part. And
first it's just like, it's kind of like a tidal wave, so
yeah.
Once the tidal wave kind of hits you, you're left with like this pool of water and you just have to sort of like sort through the pool and pick out the debris.
But the discipline piece though, that's what's missing here, right? Like we can, everything you're saying makes sense. It's absolutely true. It's just that how you get, what is that, you know, you either get started or you don't. In an exam situation, you said you've felt that creative, that writer's block,
mm-hmm.
but then you get over it. Like, have you ever handed in a blank piece of paper?
Never.
Probably not. Yeah, exactly. So something somewhere inside you forces you to do that. And I think the real challenge is when you can't find that discipline or you can't find that thing to spark, right? That the beginning of a process, which I know you've been struggling with, Mike, and probably everybody has at a certain point. I personally found that external forces, like an exam, a timed exam, there's an external force that probably forced you. If you'd had unlimited amount of time to write your exam, how long would it have taken you? You probably would have sat there for 3 days, like, right? So an external force, me just saying, I'm starting my recording now, and we're going to record your podcast episode now. On a personal level, I had a creative project once. I actually wanted to become a better writer, and I'm not very good at motivating myself to do that. So my friend and I decided to do a project together. And this is just a totally personal project. We decided to write a fictional blog. But we set very strict rules for ourselves. And it helps that we're a little bit competitive with each other. We've been friends since university. He was my college roommate. And we're a little bit competitive, which is a nice thing in this case. Because what we did was we set rules for this. And we treated it a little bit like a game. Where we created these fictional characters for ourselves. I was a fictional character, he was a fictional character. And we decided to write a vlog in the format of letters to each other, talking about what was happening, our adventures throughout the world. And the rule was you had to write back to each other within 24 hours. And it didn't matter what was happening, you had to post something on the blog. It was a response. And there was that improv element to it too, because you also had to go along with whatever they said. So if I said to my friend, you know, in my character, I said, oh, I saw you in Istanbul last week, how was that? Then he has to accept that, and he has to talk about his time in Istanbul and blah, blah, blah. And we would go back and forth, and because we're a little bit competitive, we would start putting ourselves into these crazy situations. But we had that very strict, every 24-hour deadline, and we had to follow it. And it forced me to become a much better writer because I had to solve these scenarios that he was throwing at me. I had to talk somewhat intelligently about them. I had to stay in character, and I had to post it all up online within 24 hours. And we did this for probably 8 months,
wow.
Every single day. And I tell you, I became such a better writer after that. And it was probably one of the I don't know if it was an artistic project or what, but it was one of the projects I'm the most happy with. But I could never have done it if I hadn't made myself responsible to another person. Because I knew if I didn't do it, the game was over and we no longer had this. And it was based on our friendship. So that's how I overcame that.
That's cool. That's actually pretty dope.
What about you, Dan?
Yeah, you've really touched on some good points there and sum it up, because accountability to somebody else is definitely
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah.
Having deadlines is definitely helpful. And then I think just diving in, like the idea of getting started, getting something there, and at least if you get something down, you can look at it later and edit it, take out the things you don't like, but at least you've got something to start with. And, but no, I struggled with that, with fear of failure, procrastinating to the last minute, definitely. I don't think, I mean, I'm thinking now, I don't think I'll ever not have to deal with those things. So, but you do find things that help you to kind of push yourself over time.
Now, it's interesting because with your podcast, because you are interviewing other people, there's a built-in, I don't know if this was conscious or not, but there's a built-in mechanism there, a little bit of a built-in fail-safe mechanism, because you can't make an appointment with Doug McClement and not show up.
True.
Right?
That's
so,
right.
Or with anybody. Like, because you're involving other people, there's a bit of a, you set the deadline, you set, okay, you contact them, and you set them, and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then, come hell or high water, you have to be ready to record during your interview.
That's right.
So that's actually... I don't know if that was conscious or not on your part, but that was probably a very good tool.
good
strategy.
I think I was thinking more in terms of I don't have to do as much talking to the other person.
Oh, that works too.
But you're right. I have to be prepared with at least 4 or 5 questions to start with.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
How do you decide what you'd want to ask him? Like, what's your thought process when deciding what types of questions you want to ask? Did you sit down and read like a bio of Doug or something? Did you read up on his career, like outside of the stuff that he's said in class? Like, how did you know what you wanted to talk about with Doug? Or maybe it just had nothing to do with that.
I think of myself in their shoes to think what it would be like to be him. And general questions like, what got you interested in recording bands or people? And then it usually flows from there. But the hardest one was the first one, as it usually is. And I thought, well, how can I improve on what I've just done? But there are 3 different people, obviously. And they come from 3 different backgrounds, 3 different kinds of work that they do. So it's not easy.
And who was the first one for you?
Don Garbutt.
Don Garbutt. And did you find he was, well, he's a talker, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, in a sense, it could be, you know, kind of an easier interview to start with because you know he's a talker and you know he's going to have interesting stories.
I didn't know that going in.
Oh, you didn't know that going in?
No.
Oh.
I quickly realized.
Because that's another thing I do. I always do the easiest thing first. If I'm really stuck, I go for the easiest task first.
In fact,
and then
I think
try to
you
build
suggested.
Momentum.
Was, you know,
maybe that was my subliminal way to get things going. Maybe.
You
I don't
gave
know.
Me his name. As
there you go.
Suggested
he is, he's an interesting dude, too, and he's a good talker.
Yeah.
So, Gulo, I'm interested in hearing about how you got going because you were overwhelmed with options, but I remember when you were talking about your project, you weren't that focused, I remember.
Yeah,
thinking.
I just wanted to...
You just wanted to do
everything.
And that's a little dangerous because when you don't have that focus, you get overwhelmed with options. So, but you got your first recording done. How did you motivate yourself to do that?
Just things that I'd have fun with that didn't feel like schoolwork. So, that's how I got to that. But, yeah, me and my friend were just sitting around and deciding on what to do. And then, you know, I love cars, so let's do a couple videos on cars.
Cool.
So, probably gonna do, you know, more videos on cars.
Nice.
Maybe like how to drive stick, I don't know, like just like stuff.
I would
on,
watch that.
Just stuff on like what I know, and it's not gonna feel like I'm doing work. It's just gonna feel like if it's Mikey's, just having a casual conversation like we are now. Like it doesn't feel like we're working for Mikey right now.
And you think it's easier working with a friend? We're working for Mikey.
Yeah, like we're not like
I'm sending an image voice when we're done.
But yeah, it's a lot easier with a friend there because you might second guess yourself and it's good to have someone there just like, it's a good idea and then we just start.
Yeah, for sure. So, what do you think? What do you think, Mikey? How are you feeling? Do you feel like you've got some strategies to overcome creative blocks?
Yeah, this is helping.
One more thing I'd like to say that I find is tough is overcoming distractions. When I get home, like I commute to Mississauga, you commute, like the first thing I can probably tell you that you want to do is just like sit down and like just like, yes, like I'm home, you know, and it's just like, it feels so good, and like you've been sitting, and like you wouldn't think that like sitting on a bus or on a train or whatever for a long time would be tiring, but it kind of is, and you're just like, all you're thinking about is like everything, so it's like a mental drain. As soon as you get home, you just want to like do something fun or do something relaxing or do something that is like anti-stressful. And I think if you can like find a way to motivate yourself to prioritize your priorities, then prioritize your priorities. If you can just like put things in order of how they should get done and what you know you have to get done, and set aside and maybe even just identify your distractions, then that can help you to put them aside and to not do them. Like one of mine is like, I like to play a game called League of Legends, and it's fun. And it's fun. I like to play League of Legends. So that's a big distraction for me. And like to play one of those games can take anywhere between half an hour and 1 hour. So it's like, that could be like, maybe I'm like, oh, it'll only take half an hour. And then it's like, oh, an hour just went by. I can't believe that. And then you find yourself an hour short of what you could have been working on. So I guess maybe just identifying your distractions is like step one. Like G.I. Joe says, knowing is half the battle, right? Mm-hmm. Let's listen to G.I. Joe.
You're absolutely right, and that's a really important thing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't think the answer is to not take time for yourself to do those fun things.
Oh, of course.
And to take some downtime.
Yeah.
But have the discipline to say, okay, I'm going to do it for such and such an amount of time and then stop. But
yeah.
Obviously,
well, depending on
hard to.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. But I guess that's what we're talking about, right? And like sometimes you don't have the luxury of having free time. Like I've noticed that this past week we've had like a lot of assignments and it's been kind of rough. I haven't really been able to have too much time to myself. I've been kind of stressed. I've been kind of like feeling the load. And like, you know, you just got to buckle down and you just got to do it. And that's what's helping me get the last two assignments done. Like David and I worked on our assignment for Eric and we finished it like at like 10:30 on Sunday night, and we had to present Monday, and I still had to commute home after that, and I got home at like 12-something.
30.
Yeah, 12:30, and went straight to bed, and then we presented and did Monday's class, and I haven't even started Doug Smith's assignment, and I had to do the whole assignment that night, and I finished that. I started it right when I got home, and I actually finished kind of early. I finished at like 10 p.m., so I had like 2 hours to relax, and it was fantastic.
No, you're right.
So, I don't know, I guess, like, when you buckle down and you just like focus, if you can find that focus, it'll be so much more rewarding when you finish and you still have like a bit of time, even half an hour, to just like sit and like sulk and, or just like just sit and bask in the glory and just like, it's done, it's behind me, and I can relax now without stress. And, like, it's such a worthy feeling.
But then I have a good question. Then how do you, because we're still talking about deadline motivated projects here.
Yes.
Right? Ultimately, when push comes to you guys met those deadlines, you pushed yourselves because you had those deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
I think an interesting thing is when you don't have deadlines, when you don't have firm deadlines and very loose deadlines, and actually this ILP is a good example of, let's face it, you really only have one deadline. Right? And other than that, you come to class, you talk about it. I'm a nice person. I'm not going to scream at you if you haven't got anything done. So it's like, so these are very soft deadlines. You only have that one hard deadline on June 23rd. And that's much harder, right? Because if I had weekly deadlines for certain things, then everybody would more or less say you get stressed out once a week, but you kind of keep up with it. When you leave Harris Institute, you have to motivate yourselves every day. And you're not necessarily going to have that firm deadline, and that's hard, and that's a challenge as a freelancer and as, you know, running my own business too. I face that every single day, and it's really tough. So how do you motivate yourself when you don't have that firm deadline?
Well,
how do you master distractions when you don't have that firm deadline?
Well, to kind of answer a bit of a side question first, I was going to say that because you have that one deadline, that kind of forces us to make our own personal deadlines.
Absolutely. That's the point of it, yeah.
Right. So, you know,
but then
in
how
sense,
do you do that?
Well, you have to think of your overall goal of the one deadline and be like, okay, well, I'm obviously not going to do all of these on one day. Like, that's actually what I had. My first idea was that I would, like, write out everything I was going to do for all of them and then, like, record them all with my girlfriend on one day and edit them all and stuff. And after doing the first one, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. And it's totally unrealistic to be able to think that I'm going to write all this out when that's not even really me doing it. It's like, I don't know, it didn't make sense to write it out. Like, I just kind of had to go and just do it, because that's how I would do it anyway. Like, I'm doing cooking shows, right? So I'm not going to, like, write out what I have to do when I already know what I'm doing. So, yeah, and I guess with the... What was the question about the
Well, how do you motivate yourself when you don't have a firm deadline? And I think everybody here agrees that you set yourself deadlines. And it's not, and if we don't meet those deadlines, if we set ourselves deadlines and we don't meet them, it's not because we don't want to. It's just something, right? Like, I'm sure you want to get more stuff done. It's nothing, there's no inherent, you know. You're able to meet those deadlines. Some of us in different circumstances can't. How do we break through that? How do you master those distractions? Because we get distracted, right? How do you master those distractions? How do you get into the habit of getting things done?
Well, I don't know. I've been kind of focusing on what my